Hello and welcome to Skipton Talks with Mortgage Strategy. I'm Kimberly Dondo, Digital Content Manager, and in today's episode, I'm joined by John Doughty, Chapter Managing Director at Just Mortgages, and Jonathan Evans, National Accounts and New Build Lead at Skipton Building Society for Intermediaries. Thank you both for joining me today. So before we kind of get started with today's discussion, I thought it would be nice if both of you gave us a bit of an introduction to yourselves and background into how you got started in the industry. So John, did you want to start us off?
Yeah, of course. So I've been in the industry around 20 odd years now. I actually started as an estate agent. So I started as an estate agent before moving into the world of mortgages, worked as a self-employed mortgage advisor initially, and then joined Just Mortgages 14 years ago now as a mortgage advisor down in sunny Weston-super-Mare in Taunton. And from there, I've kind of worked my way through the business to where I sit now as the chapter managing director, looking after the Just Mortgages new build division, as well as half of our estate agency based division, the Orion chapter. So that's kind of my background in the story, Kimberly.
Fantastic. And Jonathan?
Yeah, hi there, everyone. So I've been with Skipton for 9 years, and 7 years was as a business development manager in Scotland. The last 2 years has been as national account lead and more recently, new build lead. Prior to that, I was with Lloyds Banking Group for about 9 years as well. So that was commercial lending to SMEs. So 18 years industry experience. At the moment, you know, really keen to help mortgage intermediaries understand and navigate the complexities of the market at Skipton.
Well, I guess both of you are very well placed for today's discussion, which does revolve around new builds. So I wanted to start off by asking you both, what are the current trends in the new build market, both in terms of supply and demand that you're seeing?
I think firstly, it's clear that there's definitely a bit more positivity in the market at the moment. And if you'd have talked to me back sort of October last year, I think I'd have probably very different sentiment to where we sit right now. And that's driving the demand. What we are very much seeing is a clear demand for affordable housing. Shared ownership is getting stronger and stronger. And in many cases, we've got multiple buyers looking at the same property. And although we're aware that the number of homes that have been built last year, a region of 133,000, 12% down on 2022, the number of affordable housing and rent is up 10%. So it's clear that there's demand out there, and the affordable housing space is very, very busy at the moment.
And Jonathan?
Yep, totally agree. You know, 2024 seems to be more optimistic this year. You know, better news coming out, improving customer sentiment and confidence. And hopefully we continue to sort of build that momentum through 2024. I think also it's important when you do take a step back, when you're looking at the trends, what are we seeing? So if you sort of take a step back and look at the bigger picture, you know, the UK is faced with declining home ownership levels, and, you know, we've got constant issues with supply in the UK. So I think it's the House Builders Federation. They estimate that we need record-breaking house building levels of about 320 homes per year to meet England's population demands. There's also sort of falling levels of planning permission being granted. And obviously, you know, to also add in frequent changes in housing ministers doesn't help either. However, you know, we are on a trajectory to sort of calmer waters. So hopefully over the coming years, we should start to see things gradually improve.
Yeah. And from that, I can kind of glean a bit of a disconnect, I guess, between the supply and demand. And is there a potential that this might be due to rising construction costs that might be impacting the new build sector?
Yeah, so obviously we, you know, part of our group Hamptons, they done a survey, and they sort of, you know, post COVID, you know, it's not a surprise, you know, building costs were, you know, they did increase significantly. However, we have started to see some of these things change. So, for example, ONS have mm-hmm. started to show that the cost of structural steel is down 25% since January 2023. Mm-hmm. And so this sawn wood and planed wood is down about 9%. So, yes, materials did go up, but we are starting to see some of these things starting to level back out again. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's also worth mentioning that sort of labour shortage as well. You know, that's caused some real challenges. People being available to absolutely work and build the property. So that's clearly not helped as well, as well as the challenges around costs. But absolutely support what Jonathan's saying there around costs. It does feel and seems that the construction industry things are stabilising and maybe starting to come down a little bit now.
One of the sort of added sort of benefits with, you know, lower demand, it will put pressure on prices for materials and, you know, start to drive the price of materials down as well. Yeah.
And Jonathan, you did mention something about, you know, governmental changes and, you know, the impact that has on house building. So are there any specific government policies that are currently shaping the new build market, whether it be positive or negative, and what impact are they having?
I wouldn't so much say shaping. Mm-hmm. You know, helping and sort of slightly stimulating the market, yes. We have got the opposition. They've pledged to reinstate mandatory housing targets if they get into power. Mm-hmm. You've also got, you know, Help to Buy was massive, the government shared equity scheme. That's not really been replaced in terms of volume-wise. So you do have shared ownership. You've got the mortgage guarantee scheme. You've got the first home scheme. But none of them are really hitting the numbers that the Help to Buy scheme hit. Mm-hmm. So I think that more focus needs to be given by the government in these areas to try and boost productivity. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And John, from your perspective, why is it crucial for first-time buyers to utilize a mortgage broker when purchasing a new build property?
I think, firstly, we are now in a climate and an environment where using a broker for any kind of purchase is probably more important than ever. Mm-hmm. The educational piece now that customers require because of all the changes we've been through from rate changes, daily in some instances, the broker has become so important to support the customer and educate them on what's going on in the market. And then when you move into the new build space, when you go back to when Help to Buy was around, that was one of the main drivers within the new build market. Mm-hmm. Now it's not. So there's other schemes. Therefore, brokers need to be really up on everything that's going on within the new build market. And the specialist new build broker understands the different nuances within buying a new build, understands the different schemes. John's already mentioned first homes, deposit unlock. And then you've got the shared ownership side, which is a massive part of the new build arena now, more than ever. And again, that broker fully understanding how that works and the nuances involved in buying a shared ownership property. So the importance of a broker, working with a broker to buy a new build is more important than ever now, more important than ever.
Yeah, and I agree with that. You know, I think it's the latest sort of figures last year, roughly 86% of mortgages were intermediated. Customers went via a mortgage broker.
Yeah.
And you're looking at first-time buyers, it's even higher than that. It's in the 90s. Mm-hmm. So even, you know, looking at the sort of the foundations, that's where customers are going for their advice if they're a first-time buyer or the lion's share of customers. Brokers are their trusted advisor. The broker holds their hand along every step of the way. They have got access to a wide range of products across, you know, various lenders. So they can really get access to a lot more of the market quicker. So there's a time and efficiency benefit for customers to use a broker as well. They're experienced, they're professionals. They've got relationships with developers, housing associations, lenders and even solicitors. You know, they really do bring a lot of the buying process together. Mm-hmm. And especially in a volatile market, as John sort of mentioned there as well, it's, you know, having a broker in your corner is crucial in times like this.
Yeah.
I think, John, just I think to pick up on some of the points there you said, which one of them which I didn't mention, which is really important, is the relationship piece. New build specialists, mortgage brokers, they have relationships with the developers, the housing associations, housing providers, deal with the solicitors that fully understand the process of buying a new home. So that is just so important as well, because it's you know, it's all well and good securing the property. We've got to make sure we get it through and the customer in the house. So that relationship piece is so important as well.
Yeah, that's true. I think for me, I would probably personally want someone who can walk me through everything, and I don't want to mess up or potentially end up in some pitfalls that would have been easily resolved if I had a broker there next to me. But what are some of the specific challenges that a first-time buyer can face when purchasing a new build property?
Well, I suppose right at the start, whether it's new build or not, one of the biggest challenges for first-time buyers right now is having the available deposit and the affordability challenges.
Yeah,
affordability is probably been one of the biggest challenges for first-time buyers over the last year or so, with rising costs, etc. So the affordability piece is the massive piece of whether they're in an ability to be able to do it. I mean, in terms of the other challenges, I think the reality is if they've got a good broker, they're going to be walked through it. They're going to be looked after. They're going to understand the process. And the challenges should hopefully be dealt with a lot in the background by that broker dealing with it. I think some of the challenges we have seen for people buying new build has been the delays and the frustrations that causes them. But you know, I mean, other than that, I think that the key biggest challenge for anybody at the moment, first time buyer wise, is that affordability piece to be able to do it.
Yeah, John's sort of hit the nail on the head there. The big pieces are affordability constraints and deposit constraints, but some of the sort of softer things, and I wouldn't really badge these as challenges, but more differences. And again, it really highlights the benefit of having a broker in your corner, because they can help the customer deal with some of these things. So things like, you know, time and delays, you know, mortgage offer versus completion dates, that sometimes the relationship the broker has with the lender can sometimes resolve that in different ways. You know, they've got you know, Just Mortgage and other brokers have got access to other lenders, you know, who offer different offer periods. You know, so specifically for Skipton, we do a 9-month offer with a 3-month extension, so effectively covering the customer for up to 12 months. They get to keep the product. You know, so if the market, if rates go up, the customer can keep the original product. If rates come down, we allow them to move to a better product. And again, that's having that relationship with the broker. And also even just things post-sale, you know, things like service charges. When you move into a new build development or estate, that there's service charges that they may not have had previously, you know, in the area for the upkeep of the estate. And even just simple things that, you know, premium on new builds, I think the national premium is running about 15% based on eServes data. And, you know, some region that is reaching as high as 40%. And then there's obviously, you know, quality and snagging that comes into it as well. Although I will point out, having bought a new build property myself, I never had any major issues with any sort of snagging. Anything, the sort of minor tweaks, the builder was more than happy to accommodate for us. Yeah.
Yeah, I would say I also had a similar experience recently as well. Snagging wasn't it delayed things, as John pointed out earlier, but it wasn't a massive issue. Kind of going back to that relationship and the dynamic between lenders like yourself at Skipton and mortgage brokers, how can they collaborate more effectively to kind of create a more seamless customer journey for first-time buyers in the new build market?
I think there's a number of ways that we currently do it at the moment, and we're always looking for new ways to enhance it as well. But, you know, things like technology. So at Skipton, we've got automatic income verification. So roughly about 58% of applicants that come to Skipton, we don't even need a payslip or a bank statement. Okay, so straight away, that sort of eases the burden on the customer. Electronic identification and verification, again, easing the burden on the customer to provide documents to the lender or to Skipton. And also, you know, integrated tech platforms, so APIs, which you know, removes duplication and improves the journey for the broker when they're putting the case through. I also think, sort of more on the relationship side, feedback loops are important. So at Skipton, we've got a broker forum. We run it. We do one a quarter, and we move it to different regions of the UK. It's called Skipton Listens. And we essentially take our stakeholders and some of our senior leadership team out on the road to sit in front of brokers to hear straight from the horse's mouth. What are the challenges? What are Skipton doing well? What are other lenders doing well? Where do we need to innovate? How do we do it? And, you know, sometimes these brokers off the back of that, they, you know, everything that Skipton does from a policy perspective, the majority of it is driven by broker feedback. So, you know, very important to have the dialogue between the lender and the mortgage professional, the intermediary, the broker firm. Also joint marketing efforts. So obviously at a distributor level, we do quite a lot of joint marketing with the mortgage clubs and the networks. So again, we can be quite tailored. Is it new build comms that we're putting out? Is it first time buyer? And we work with the distributor to make sure that the open rate and the click-through rate that we're getting to the advisors is, you know, it's improving, and we're making changes so that the news and the comms can get out to more advisors. And then, you know, for an underwriting point of view, for a processing point of view, you know, it's pretty streamlined at Skipton. We've got access, the brokers have got access to flexible underwriters. They've got enhanced BDM support at certain points in the year. So a good example is, you know, the builder's half year or the builder's year end. The BDMs can provide a more enhanced experience and level of support for the broker firm to help them with their pipeline of cases. And I don't know, John, what's your sort of thoughts on, you know, some of the stuff that I've covered there?
Yeah, so the bit I take away, it stands out for me, John, is the relationship piece again. I think when we look at us as just mortgages, one of the things that we absolutely want to ensure is we have a great relationship with our lending partners, because that allows us to have discussions about different cases and also speak, you know, talk openly about what schemes would really work and help and support to help, again, the first time buyers get on the ladder. So, and that's one thing that I really feel that again, specialists within the new build market, they're going to build relationships with the lenders to be able to have those open dialogues when needed. So the tech is absolutely fantastic and really important. And we've got to keep driving that forward to ensure that you know, the easier it is to process cases, the easier it is to go through that process, the better. But I still think, you know, the old traditional relationship piece is really, really important.
Yeah. And I know that the recent spring budget wasn't much to write home
about. Underwhelming is the word.
Very underwhelming. A lot of headlines out there saying disappointment from the mortgage industry, certainly. But I wanted to know if there are any innovative government schemes that currently support prospective homeowners in the UK, particularly first-time buyers in the new build market.
So I think, sort of going back to what we'd mentioned earlier, you know, you've got the first home scheme, you've got the mortgage guarantee scheme. There's quite a large lender in the market that uses that. Shared ownership for me is the front runner. When you look at the numbers, shared ownership looks to be the one that, you know, that can, it's got the potential to plug the gap. However, when you're looking at shared ownership, the government scheme, there's the demand for it. I think, you know, the official figures are, you know, is roughly, you know, for every one property available, you've got three or four people looking to buy it. But again, depending on who you speak to in the industry, some of them forecast that demand to be even greater. So I think it's important as an industry, you know, and specifically for the government, whether it's us, you know, lobbying the government as an industry, collaborating, it's also important that the government look to protect more properties that are available to first-time buyers through schemes like the shared ownership scheme, making more properties available to try and meet that demand.
Yeah, I think just to build on what John said, yes, there are things out there. I mean, you've mentioned the mortgage guarantee scheme, so I think that came in around 21. But when you look at what these schemes have done, they've got nowhere near what Help to Buy did. Help to Buy, 320 odd thousand people, allowed them to purchase their first home. So, and the other schemes just don't do the same as what Help to Buy allowed people to do. I appreciate Help to Buy did have a mixed support. There's some people felt that it took people further up the ladder than maybe they should have done. So I do appreciate that. But I think going back to the budget bit and the underwhelming piece, I'm sure the industry would have loved to have seen something a little bit more exciting come out. We heard so many different things going around. Obviously, stamp duty was discussed and the 1% deposit mortgage. And again, I'm not sure if either of them or one of them would have done what we needed it to do. But to not probably get anything was a little bit underwhelming. I do get government's goal of long-term growth and long-term stability, etc. But it would have been nice to see something come out just to really put a little bit of an injection into the market.
Especially in an election year, you'd think there would have been something.
I think
on the wish list, the 1%, I guess.
I think that's a difficult one. Again, anyone really knew exactly what it would look like. Again, obviously, John would probably would answer from a lender perspective and stuff. So there was mixed feelings out there in the market, whether it was the right thing to do or not. I think it would have been great to see something. But I think we still can't get away, though, from the fact of that, you know, there was some positives. I think, you know, the NI change is going to give some people a bit more of a disposable income. I appreciate, obviously, the cost of living and whether it actually just balances out. But that's a little bit of a positive. And let's not get away from the fact that the market is more positive this year than it was last year. So whether the 1% deposit would have been the right thing or not, I'm not 100% sure right now.
And just following on for what John said there, you get the national insurance changes, which will have an impact on household income. The other one was child benefit changes, so you'll now have more households. And although on the face of it, you know, you think it's quite small, it's only, you know, £1,250 a year roughly for one child. But when you run that through a lender's calculator and you then apply an income multiple to it, you know, you could see an additional figure, you know, £5,000-£5,500 with some lenders. And when you then compound that and add into the fact that the national insurance changes, every bit does make a difference. But yeah, very, very underwhelming from the budget. The changes that they brought in, the furnished holiday let regime, multiple dwelling relief and the capital gains tax and property changes. I think it could lead to, you know, a slight shift towards a sort of more long-term rentals in the market and potentially make home ownership slightly more accessible. Again, all of that depends on how the changes are implemented alongside sort of other economic factors such as rates and overall housing supply. Yeah, so still a bit of work to be done.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. And first-time buyers, they're the lifeblood of our market, you know, so... Mm-hmm. We need to be doing everything we can to give people the best opportunity to fulfill most people's goal, which is owning their own home.
Definitely. And with that said, what innovative mortgage products or services are Skipton currently offering? And last year we discussed the 100% LTV loan. But what are you specifically offering in the new build market for first time buyers?
How long do we have?
As long as you need.
Yeah, so we at Skipton, we've got a multifaceted proposition. You need to remember we're a mutual building society. So our purpose is to help more people into home ownership. And part of that is that we have got a strategic objective to help more first-time buyers. When you look at last year, 2023, roughly 15% of our completions was on a new build property, and 56% of those completions were actually a first-time buyer Okay, so we're heavily invested into helping first-time buyers realise their dream of home ownership. Okay, mm-hmm. In terms of proposition, Track Record, that was launched for renters, people who are, you know, potentially stuck in the rental cycle.
Yeah.
You know, they can demonstrate that they've got a track record, clues in the name.
Yeah.
They've got a track record of paying the rent for 12 months, utilities, bills, etc., council tax. So they can demonstrate that they have got, you know, they can make the payments, they can mm-hmm. they can run the household, but because they're renting, they might not have been able to save a deposit. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, Bank of Mum and Dad, it's, you know, estimated that the Bank of Mum and Dad, it's been published that it's the ninth largest lender in the UK. But what if some of these people are not lucky enough or fortunate enough to have a Bank of Mum and Dad to help them? So that was really targeted there. You know, it's up to 100% loan to value. Obviously, just to remind everyone, you can also, it doesn't have to be 100% loan to value. If the customer's got a deposit, they can put that towards the purchase. Mm-hmm. It can be used on new build houses, but we're happy doing it on new build houses as well. And sort of slight differences, the max term for track records slightly below our max. We cap it at 35 years. And the applicants, instead of being 18 years old, they need to be 21 years old to apply for track record. Other sort of things that I'd like to sort of bring up as well to really highlight and showcase what we are doing for first-time buyers and for people looking to buy a new build. We offer 95% loan to value on new build houses and new build flats, so standard purchases. We don't use a third party. Deposit Unlock is used. It's such a fantastic scheme. It really showcases and highlights industry collaboration. So again, merit to the lenders that are using that to access the market at the higher LTVs as well. But yeah, we do it 95%. And again, that's off the back of trends, you know, post Help to Buy. You know, the market where Help to Buy potentially stimulated the market in a way where people potentially overbought and over leveraged or geared up too much. Whereas we're now starting to see trends emerge that customers are now returning back to, you know, starter homes like two bed flats, etc. Yeah, so we see there's a trend there, there's a future demand. So that's why we're in that part of the sector. We've also got Income Booster, joint borrower, sole proprietor. So again, utilising the income of other people that potentially want to help the customer with affordability. We mm-hmm. offer shared ownership. We do up to 95% LTV of the share on shared ownership. Mm-hmm. We also offer first home scheme. We offer longer terms of up to 40 years. Again, to help with affordability. I'd mentioned earlier about the 9 month offer with a 3 month mm-hmm. extension. Again, helping the customer and the mortgage broker navigate the potential for the property to be delayed to remove, you know, additional stress and additional work. And in addition to that, we also aim to underwrite all new build cases within 48 hours. So I think from Skipton, fantastic proposition. You know, we really do want to help this part of the sector. We believe in the new build sector. We believe it's important to help customers get on the property ladder.
Mm-hmm. So a plethora of services.
Huge amount. Yes. Yeah. I think one thing I would definitely add is, and obviously, you know, being a brokerage, we deal with lots of lenders, but it was great for Skipton to come out with something innovative, because mm-hmm. Innovation drives innovation everywhere mm-hmm. as well, which is fantastic. And I think the other thing, going back to where we talked about the importance of a broker, just listening to you there, John, with all the, you know, the different options that a customer potentially has with Skipton, you then multiply that across multiple lenders, that starts to give you a flavour of the importance of a broker understanding the new build market mm. and all the different options and potential routes a customer could go to own their home, and ensuring that broker fully understands it and takes the customer down the right route. So absolutely, just for me, just shows again the importance of that broker.
Mm-hmm. And I wanted to just kind of stay with that point. So from your perspective, John, as we wrap this up, How can brokers stay informed and leverage these innovative offerings to benefit their clients?
I mean, again, it comes down to the relationships with the likes of Skipton to mm-hmm. fully understand what's available. And that's one thing, you know, Skipton are fantastic at, and the relationship that we have with them is updating us and keeping us abreast of the changes, what's coming and what to be aware of, so we can be ahead of it. There's nothing worse for a broker than having to react because of something they found out later on. So mm-hmm. understanding beforehand just allows them to then deal with the situations ahead. And then from a broker perspective, it's making sure that they are fully aware of what's going on, and that they do take the time to fully understand the market, learn the market, and the best they can understand the different options for the customer. But again, it's the relationship piece and the relationship that we have with the lenders and Skipton to ensure that we get the information we need, that we can then inform our customers correctly.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you wanted to add anything to that, Jonathan.
Totally agree with everything that John's mentioned there. What I would say, now more than ever, there's so much content and education available for intermediaries and brokers. Mm-hmm. You know, whether that's, you know, podcasts like this, you know, mm-hmm. through Trade Press, some lenders have got some fantastic podcasts and content on their website and mm-hmm. available via various channels. And also that, you know, the old trusty BDMs a good BDM is worth their weight in gold. Mm-hmm. And I think in the UK, you know, having worked as a BDM and worked with, you know, BDMs from various other lenders, the brokers, you know, there's a lot of good talent within the BDM space. Mm-hmm. So again, leverage your BDMs. They've got the internal relationships at head office, and they're also filled with knowledge. Yeah. So I think it's just about trying to make the most of what's available. And also for a distribution point of view, you know, your mortgage club, your network that you use, you know, fantastic rafts of information available, you know, weekly emails, websites, etc. So I think they're spoiled for choice. There's almost too much information.
I feel bad now that I didn't mention BDMs, Jonathan, because you're so right. The BDMs are such an important part, and we've got so many fantastic ones out there in the market that are just worth their weight in gold. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I think, like you said, we've shared a lot and given so much information out there. So I think that this is a perfect time to wrap up. But thank you both so much for joining me in this discussion. And I really think it will definitely help our audience.
Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you.